Okay, so the first introduction to Erevin we had on Tuesday, which was a survey of the issues that we're going to touch on. Today is more of a conceptual introduction to Erevin. And that's going to be the nature of the malacha of hutzah, the malacha of carrying, of transferring between domains. And obviously, conceptually, this is very important, because Maseches Erevin deals with the question of how we fix domains such that you can carry them in them. But, you know, as we mentioned in the survey, that you, in order to fully understand the topic, you need to understand what it is that the prohibition is to begin with, right? Why, what is the nature of the issur to carry? What does it tell us about the malachos of Shabbos in general, etc.? So that's the question that we're going to deal with today. And specifically, whether the malacha of hutzah has a unique sui generis nature, and if so, what that nature is. So before we see the sources, right, just logically, right, if I look at the malachos, why would one think that the malacha of hutzah, the malacha of carrying, is unique amongst the malachos? Right, what's similar to all malachos that makes hutzah seem to stand out? This is not like a deep question, but right.
You mentioned something in the survey this year.
Right. I think right. So for this, I gave you the mission on Shabbos Ayin Gimel. Ayin Gimel would list all the malachos, but you look through most of the malachos. Right. Let's take for example Zoreya, right, planting, or Bona, building. Right. What happens? What results from a malacha?
Something.
Exactly, right, something. As opposed to hutzah, what results in the malacha?
Nothing,
seemingly nothing. Right, and that's the point that we'll see that Tosfos makes, is that malacha of hutzah, before we even get into sources, seems to stand out. And the reason I gave you the Mishnah, if you look at the Mishnah, right, it divides. There's what we call Sidur de Pas, right, there's all the malachos that relate to making of bread, making of food, planting and sowing and threshing and cooking, baking, and then there's all the malachas involved in making clothing, and then at the end, the last malach on the list is hutzah, which seems to stand out, right? It doesn't create anything. All it does is, as his translation would indicate, it transfers. It takes something from point X to point Y, but then you could just take it back, right? It's totally reversible. And it seems, even before we get into sources, to indicate that in some way it's unique. Especially if you think about the nature of malacha, right? Where do we derive malacha from? The Mishkan. And where's the other, right, relevant conceptual point in Chumash for malachos? One is the Mishkan, right? That's clearly learned the legal sources. What? Well, that's similar to Mishkan. The other one is Breishis, right? That, right, those are the two times that we talk about, right, Shabbos is... is commemorative of Bereishis, and just like God rested, we rest, right? And the same notion that permeates both of them, the Mishkan and creation, is that there's something on Shabbos you're supposed to rest from creativity, and the Malacha Hutzah doesn't seem to be creative. So even before we get into sources, the Malacha Hutzah seems to stand out. To just highlight this legally, I noted in brief the Gemara in Horias and Daf Gimel. I won't read it inside, but the Gemara in Horios is dealing with what's known as the Parhelm Dabar Shel Tzibur, the carbon that Beis Din brings if they rule incorrectly with regards to a prohibition which would warrant kares or the death penalty of Mazid. So if they rule incorrectly and the majority of Klal Yisrael acts based on their ruling, so then instead of everyone bring individual carbon out, instead Beis Din brings what's known as the Parhelm Dabar Shel Tzibur, right? The cow, because of the something being hidden from the public, right? From the community. And the Gemara, one of the parameters that the Gemara outlines there is that it is only the case that you bring the carbon if Beis Din ruled. Let's go look at the Gemara for a second inside. Or the Gemara in source 2 here says, Haru Beis Din Yadu Shetov Chazer Ben Benji Vekozer Ben Shelovi Karasan. That's the Mishnah. So then in the middle, 1, 2, 3, four lines into the mission in source two, Horu Bezdin Laakar is Kol Haguf. If when Bezdin ruled, they ruled to uproot an entire category in the Torah, for example, Amru Ein Nida Batara Ein Shabbos Batara Ein Avodas Kol Chavim Batara. They said there's no such thing as the Isur Nida or Shabbos or idolatry. Harei Lupaturin. So then that does not warrant the Karban. But Horu Levatal Mitzas Ulekai Mitzas Harei Lechayavim. But if they were to rule that that they were to nullify part of a law, so then you would bring it, right? If they basically eviscerate a category from the Torah through their psak, then that doesn't even count to the psak, and therefore you don't bring the karban. If they would make a mistake in a detail, so then they would. So then the Gemara gives an example. In this case, right? They make a mistake in a detail of Nida. There is Shabbos. Right? So the Gemara's example of something which would be a partial violation is Hamotzi Mirshus Hayachid L'Rishus HaRabbim. So then if you continue into the Gemara, the Gemara says, right, this is three lines down into source three, right, Yei Shabbos Batar Aval Hamotzi Mirshus Hayachid L'Rishus HaRabbim Patur, Yei Aval Chochavim Batar Aval Rishach HaPadah Yachal Yupitur and Hamalomar V'Ne'alam Davar V'lo Kol Haguf. Right, so the Gemara then continues on this, and the Gemara rules. We don't have time. Let's run to the Rambam. We'll summarize it. We'll go to the top of source 4. The Gemara in source 4 says, "By Rav Yosef, ein harisha b'shabbos ma'u." If one were to say that there's no provision to plow on Shabbos, what would the halacha be? Mi amrina and kevin de kamodu bikulhu milsa kevitul miktas vikim miktas dummy. Do you say that since he is admitting, or they're acknowledging that part of the prohibition exists, it's only considered a partial violation? You bring the car. Mano dilma kevin de kaakran leil harisha kol ikar, or since they're uprooting the entire malacha of harisha kaakiras guf dummy. It's considered a full violation of, right, an elimination of an entire category. Now, the Gemara earlier, however, with regard to Hotzaha, had said, and if you go down, this is now five lines before this, right? Five lines from the end of the previous Gemara. Tanan ye Shabbos b'dar v'al motzim v'chusel chus pater v'amai hotzaha k'sivol zozu masam v'atechem. So the Gemara said, no, damri hotzahu da'asira but moshet v'zorek shari. And the Gemara had said, with regard to Hotza'a, what's the case, right? The Mishnah had said that if you make a mistake in paskening about carrying, so then you would bring the carbon. Then the Gemara said, what's that case? Only if you pasken, you make a mistake about what? A prat in a detail in Hotza'a. So we take the two together, the Gemara assumes, right, just asserts that if one ruled that Hotza'a was not a malacha, would that be considered an elimination of an entire category? Yes. And therefore the Gemara assumes that what does it mean? What case are you chayev if you ruled on a prat, right? That you said it's usher to carry, but you're allowed to throw. But by harisha, by one of the other malachos, the Gemara had a suffix. Is eliminating an entire malacha considered getting rid of a category, getting rid of part of a category? So you see that the Gemara is treating hotza'a as its own category, right? Such that it's clearly distinct from the rest of the malacha of Shabbos. So if I were to eliminate hotza'a, that would be considered getting rid of a whole category. And by harisha, right, by plowing, the Gemara is mesubak. Right, so you see that at some level, Hotza really does stand as its own category. Another indication of this, and this, right, your chair mentioned in the survey, is the source of the malacha. Right, all the malachos on Shabbos we derive from the Mishkan. Right, and that's the Gemara in source 6, which we won't read. Right, we won't read the whole thing. Right, and the Gemara goes through exactly how to figure it out, but all the malachos we derive from the Mishkan. However, right, what is the source for the malacha of Hutzah? So the Gemara provides two different psukim, right? Right, one in the Gemara in Erev and Al Yotzi, and the Gemara, and again here in the Gemara in Shabbos. But the important point is that while for all the malachos, right, we don't ask for a specific pasuk to teach us Harisha, to teach us Zriya, to teach us Bona, to teach us Oreg, right? For Hotzah, the Gemara provides not one, but two potential psukim, one in the Gemara in Shabbos and one in the Gemara in Erevin, to teach us Hotzah. So, you know, if we put it together, we're starting to build evidence, right? Both just misvara, right? Just logically, when we look at the malachos, it looks different, right? It's the only non-creative of the malachos. And if we go through the Gemara in Horios, not even talking about Shabbos, right? Talking about defining categories, Le'inyan, Parhelim Devar Shel Tzibur, the Gemara assumes that carrying is a category in and of itself, while the other malachos may or may not be. And then in terms of sources, where all the other malachos seem to be derived directly from the Mishkan, and then carrying, right, we have our own pasuk. And in other places in the Gemara, even more than that, the Gemara provides separate psukim, not just for carrying, but for the toladas of carrying, for hachnasa, right? And that's the Gemara later on in Shabbos and Tzadivav. So in terms of simply the structure of the malacha, the physical structure of the malacha, two, in terms of how the Gemara treats it categorically, three, in terms of the derivation from the Torah, we have several very strong pieces of evidence that Hotza'ah seems to be unique. So now, the question that remains, though, is, okay, it's unique, but to what extent is it unique? Is it simply, okay, there are 39 malachos, one of them is a little bit different, but fundamentally all the malachos are the same? Or are there legal implications to that? Does that actually express itself in law? Is it actually treated differently? So Tosos, famously, and this is the Tosos in the first Amud of Shabbos, Tosos comes up with a phrase to refer to the malacha of Hotzah, and this is in source 12, right? So Tosa says, "Tame of the Reef, a mind circle is a tarti to Ani Debalabais." Right? The first mission on Shabbos deals with carrying and deals with all these cases. You have a poor person outside and you have a wealthy person inside, and the Gemara says, "What's the case of carrying? When the poor person gives to the rich person gives to the poor person." And you're going to be obligated on a biblical level if the same person did both the lifting up and the putting down, both the Akira and the Hanacha, and you're going to be only obligated rabbinically if you did one and not the other. You did Akira, not Hanacha, Hanacha, not Akira, right? You only picked it up, you picked it up, stuck your hand out of the door, and the poor person took it out of your hand, so you never put it down, right? So then it's only rabbinically usher, it's not biblically usher. So he says, why do you need to tell us this? V'chein rei shvuos. The Mefarish Gemara Shtayim Daani Debala Bayit Mashayach Lakros Shtayim Mali Ani Mali Asher. Isn't that the same thing? The Nir Lari to Itzrich Lashmeinan Mishom Dehotzah Malacha Gruahi. You need to teach it to us because Hotzah is a subpar malacha. Right? Is a weaker malacha. Demali motzi mirshus ayachid lirshus harabim. Mali motzi mirshus ayachid lirshus ayachid. Now, how does he formulate it? Right, for him, why is it a malacha grua? Right, what's mali motzi mirshus ayachid lirshus ayachid? Mali motzi mirshus ayachid lirshus harabim. Right, so we know. So when do you violate? We mentioned this in the survey. When do you violate the Isra malacha? If you Yachid to Rabim, Ram to Yachid, but not Yachid to Yachid on a Daraisa level. Now, he asked the question, he said, well, if, right, let's say Zriya, right, planting. So, if you ask me, how do you define Zriya? I'd say, well, you plant, right? And how is that different from riding my bike? Well, it's different because they're completely different actions, right? But by Hotzah, that's not the case, right? Certain things which are clearly carrying in common parlance, right, is not the Isser of Hotzah. Certain things that are transferring are not Hotzah, right? So carrying something from my house, right? I live now in a basement apartment that's inside the house. If I carry it from my apartment into the house, Right? That's clearly caring. That's clearly transferring. And yet, on a biblical level, I did nothing. Right? If I walk out the front door, I violated Nisr D'Oraisa. Assuming that Nisr D'Oraisa D'Oraisa. Right? Which is something we will analyze as we're doing Irfan. But by other malachos, it's not the case, right? If I plant in the ground, it is planting. If I take a seed and I put it on my table, right, in a pile of dirt, and it doesn't grow, it may look like Zriya, but it's right, but it's not. Okay, so that's one formulation that Tosfos suggests, that it's a subpar malacha because the action has, if I had to formulate it, because the action is not, let's say, is not objectively defined. Right, because right, I could do the same action, it would be chayv, and the same action would be chatur. There's not an objective creative activity, right, that I could tell if it weren't for the law. Right, it's not defined by realia; it's defined by law. Right, because there's no fundamental difference between carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah or from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. There's a rule; it's a slightly different formulation. 13. Hamotzi l'kaman azorik boi hotza hechaksiva v'lo boi l'melcha mishkan afaka davi mishkan mishum d'malacha shiner chashuvahi d'ma malacha asa. And this is what we said before, right? That just b'mitzius, right? Hotza seems to be weak because what did you do? If malacha is meant to be creative, you did nothing. Okay? Okay. So let's summarize what we have and then we'll continue. So first, right, we noted that simply if you look at malacha, the malacha is physically. You see that hotzah is unique. You see that in terms of categorization, the Gemara treats it as unique. And in terms of source, the Gemara assumes that it's unique and requires its own source. And even the details of it, even hachmasa needs its own pasuk in order for it to be asur. And all of those three things we do not find in general. Now, we could just say that that's an interesting observation, but at least Tosos and the Ozeru and many Rishonim think that no, that actually defines the nature of the malacha of Otzah. Right? It is a malacha of Geruah, a malacha she'ina chashuva. The Ozeru bases that primarily on the physical aspect of it, namely that nothing changes, right? It's not creative. Right? The definition of all malachos is creativity, it's malacha ma'shreves, and Otzah is not. Tosfos takes a slightly different formulation, which is all other malachos are an objectifiable action, or an objectifiable creative action, and this is something that is defined by law, right? It's defined into existence by law, right? Because taking it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, is not different unless you say it is. As opposed to Zoraya on your table is different from Zoraya in the ground, because one of them is Zoraya and one of them is not. Okay? So both Tosfos and the Ozeru seem to think that Hotzah is a malacha groy, is a different type of malacha. Now that still doesn't tell us whether there are legal implications to that. And that's what we're going to come to at the end. Okay? But before we do, and these are the questions I put here, you know, if you have the guide, right, that I put, right? The question that we're left to ask though is, okay, so let's assume it is unique. And let's assume that all the other malachos are prohibited because they are created. Right? God created the world in 7 days, 6 days, and the rest is on the seventh, and we are bidden to imitate him, and therefore we can't create on Shabbos, and Hotzah is not that. Right? Let's assume that's all true. And that makes Hotzah sui generis, right? That makes it unique. Okay, but then what is, in fact, the nature of the malacha? Right? Why is it a malacha? If it's not creative, and yet it is a malacha, it's the one of 39 that stands out, so then what is it? Right? What makes it usher? What makes it tick? Right? So, there are two potential categories that we could compare it to that might give us the answer. Right? One is biblical, and one is rabbinic. Now, D'oraisa, biblically, in addition to the malachos and Shabbos, what else is prohibited? One of them, I should change that. One is definitely rabbinic, and one is potentially rabbinic, possibly biblical, we'll get to. Really, most of them might be biblical, but this is just confusing issues. Right, in addition to doing the malachos on Shabbos, what else is prohibited? Right? we'll say biblically or rabbinically. Right? Don't write or derabbanan. Or what else can you not do? So first there's halacha called mechamer, right, which is a lav, right? Just do with leading on an animal. Okay, we'll leave that aside. Right, what else is there? Right? Right, so one is mitzvah v'davar davar, right, which is all the isurim which are divrei sofrim may or may not find their place in daraisa. We'll get back to it, what exactly it means. But yeah, it is don't speak about mundane things, don't walk in a way that you walk during the week. Right, that's one set of halachos, right? Don't read Shtari Hadyotos, right? Don't read letters, newspapers, possibly, right? All these things are subject to machlokas. What exactly it means. You know, don't read captions under pictures, according to Rashi. I spent a Shabbos once in Newport and realized I was reading one of the captions. I'm like, oh God, like, according to Rashi, this is actually Shtari Hadyotos. So what else is there? There's what? Mukza. Right? And there's also Tchumen. Right? Now Tchumen, maybe Darabana may be Daraisa, the way the Rambam and the Riff Paskin is that the Tchumen of 12 mil is Daraisa. We'll get to this when we get to this later here, the Tchumen of 2,000 Amos is Darabana. But we have several categories. So two of them are very helpful for our purposes. One of them is Tchumen, and the other is Mukza. Really, I'm skipping some things for time. It's probably not worth skipping them quite yet. Okay, I'll mention just the next few things I put on the page. Other indications that, I'll circle back here. Other indications that Hotza is unique, or if you look at my outline in the beginning, this might be helpful, right, are the questions of Hotza and Yom Tov, right? The Gemara in Beitza raised the question of is Hotza Malach at all on Yom Tov? And the Gemara in Yoma raises the same question about Yom Kippurim, right? Without getting into the question of how we paskin whether there is or is not Hotza on Yom Tov, or Yom Kippurim, the fact that the Gemara raises an independent question for Yom Tov and for Yom Kippur, right, about Hotza, not the other Malachos, right, seems to point yet again that it is sui generis in that sense, that it stands apart from the other Malachos, and the in 2D, what I put, this is a position of Tosfos, based in the Gemara and Shabbos, that Hotza did not exist at Shabbos and Mara. Right? We know that the Jews were commanded in Shabbos before Matan Torah. So Tosfos assumes, based on the Gemara, that not all of Shabbos was commanded yet. And what does he think was not at Mara? Was Hotza.
Oh, only Hotza.
What?
Only Hotza. They had the rest of the...
What?
Only Hotza was excluded, you say.
Yeah. Okay. Right, that Hotza, uniquely, was not at the Shabbos in Mara. Right, so again, the existence of several types of, how do I say this, Shabbos-like days, right, that could exist without the other Malachos, but not, or could exist, sorry, without Hotza, but have the other Malachos, again, indicate that Hotza seems to stand alone. Right, this is the Tosfos. On 20, Damar Tchumin Daraita, Man Vukaman de Besina, the Kabo, Ikara Tchumin, Lavgana Tchumin, El Klomer Hotsa, Shemalich, and Iman called Sherlohead. Marza Hotsa, Lo Ifkud, Marza Ver Ifkud. Right, so he said that the Machlokas here is, was Hotsa commanded at Mara or not? Okay, so now return to what we were saying. So the two categories, though, that we could compare it to are Mukta and Tchumen. So let's start with Mukta. Okay? Now, in addition to the fact that Misvara, at some level, Mukta seems to be similar to Hotza, right? Both of them are malachos that have to do primarily with moving things, with carrying things, right? The Gemara itself compares the malacha of Hotza to Mukta. So if you look at the Gemara in source 23, the Gemara says, "Etnan b'shamay omrim ein motzi en lo es hakatan v'lo es halulav v'lo es sivertar l'shus harabim u'vishel el matirim." So the Gemara says, right, you're not allowed to take out a child or a lulav or a sefer Torah into a shuram, as well as it is mutter. So the Gemara says, well,
go
Okay, so the Gemara says, Dilma Lohi, Ad Kan Lo Kam Rabbi Shammai Hasam, Ela Ahotza. Maybe Beishamai only said that about Tza. Aval Al Tiltul Lo, but Mutza he was still Aser. Right, we won't get into the whole discussion of the Gemara, but the Gemara at this point, it says maybe Beishamai would prohibit it Hotza, but he would Matir Mukta under these circumstances. Then the Gemara says a very suggestive line, says no. Atu tiltu lav tzorech hotzahu. How could that be that you would say that there's a dispensation for mukta, but not for hotzah? Isn't mukta tzorech hotzah? Isn't it needed for hotzah? And if you look at the Rajva, in 26 here, right? This is commenting on Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Zayin. He says, "Hadam reina hasam tiltul lacham alacha." Tmili, Maika amar hasam tiltul. Delohavi leila meimar ela hasam hotzaa dirabanan v'hacham alacha. Dehalav mishum tiltul hu ela machmas hotzaa limavui. Right? How could the Gemara ask this question? Again, we won't get into the details of the Gemara. I should have just said that mukta is different than carrying because one's d'oraisa and one is d'rabanan. So he says, no, but ulai mishum detilto machmas hotzahu da'asru. It may be the reason you can say this, right, and this is clearly his interpretation of the Gemara in Beitza, is not just that tiltul is exira atu. It's that mukta is asr because of carrying, right? Ulai mishum de tiltul machmas hotzah da'asru k'tisa v'rakam in the Beitza. Nimsa shahat tiltul v'hotzah b'inyan echad. So you see that mukta and carrying are the same thing, right? They're the same general category. At some level, it's ki'ilu. Mukta is the dirabanan equivalent of hotzah. Right? And right now that's true both in a, you know, simply cause and effect level, right? That if I can't move something, I probably won't carry it outside. Right? But also, one could go farther and say conceptually, right? They're connected. And if you look at the Rambam's formulation, he seems to go in this direction, right? And 24, Asur Chacham Letaltel Mitzas Dvarim B'Shabbos Kederach Shu Osev B'Chol. The Chazal forbade moving some things on Shabbos like you move them during the week. And why do they prohibit this? Amru Mai Mesir Nevim Mesiva Shlo Yehei Luchach B'Shabbos Kiluchach B'Chol. Lo Sichat Shabbos Kisichat Achol. If we said that your walking shouldn't be the same on as it is on the weekday, and you're talking, isn't Shinemar Vidaber Davar, Kalva Homer Shlo Yet Tiltul B'Shabbos Kitiltul B'Chol? So then, it also should be the case that you're moving things shouldn't be the same. K'day Shlo Yehei Kiyom Chol Be'Enav. So it shouldn't be like a weekday in your eyes. V'Yavo Le'Hagbia, and then you'll come up and end up picking things up. L'Taken Kelim Mipina Lepina, O Mibayis Labayis, O L'Hatzniya Avanim. And if you treat Shabbos as a weekday in your house, then you'll end up treating it as a weekday and doing what? Carrying. Hotzi mi bayis labayis. Right? Olas mi avanim v'chayot ben sharehu batel v'yoshev beveso. Because what are you going to end up doing? You're going to sit in your house. V'yavakesh davar shisazik. Well, you're going to be looking for something to do. V'nim so shalom shabbos. And it'll turn out that you, right, didn't Rezu boto hatam shenemar b'torah liman yanuach. V'od shivakir v'talto kem shem lachon leisur efshar yishazik ben ma'ad v'yavol yidei malacha. Right, and if it, right before he was talking mostly with the Rabbanan, or maybe totally, and now he says, but more than that, if you're involved in mukta, you'll end up actually violating malacha. V'od v'nation mixas amenim balayumenos. And furthermore, some people aren't professionals. El betelin kol yemein. They just don't work at all. Keep going to tayalan v'yoshvei kranos. Kol yemein and shows them malacha. They miyamuter la'alech l'davro l'talduk shayamim nimtzah shaloshava shvisa anikeres. And if they weren't to have muksa, they were allowed to move things back and forth. So then they wouldn't have a recognizable resting. So this type of resting, meaning mukta, is a resting which all people, even those who don't work, would be able to rest in. And because of this, they've prohibited mukta. Now, right, the Rambam here is an interesting combination. Right, he says that there seems to be two reasons why you can't do mukta. You can't carry things which are mukta. One is that we want you to have what he calls a shvisa hanikaras. And the other thing he says is that what is it going to do?
Lead you to
malacha. Right? So he says, we want you to have a shvisa nikeres, both for two reasons. One, because if you don't, it'll lead you to malacha. And two, because objectively, we want you to have a restful Shabbos. And he explicitly connects it to, right, carrying things. Right? Then mukta, like carrying things, by the bais, and it might even lead to malacha, probably, hotza mir shus l'rishus. So, if you take the Rajba and the Rambam, so one suggestion could be that Hotzah is a form of Ka'ein Mukta De'araisa. Right? If you think about Mukta, right, as the Rambam says, right, what is the nature of the Yisra Mukta? It's all wrapped up in all the other things that Rachel Chiner mentioned, right? Lo of Sichas Chulin, of Mimsocha, Chavatzecha, Vadaver, Dover, that we want you to have what the Rambam called a Shvisa Hanikeres. Right, we want you to have a recognizable, distinguished day. In order to do that, right, we have this quasi-rabbinic, quasi-biblical category called Shvus, called Mitzvah Chavasecha B'davar Davar, and one of the things that goes in that quasi-category is Mukta. The biblical equivalent, right, that which if you didn't keep Mukta, you would end up being led to this Daraisa, is Hotza. Right, so one possibility is to say, look, 38 malachos are usher because they are creative, right? Because they deny the creation of the world because God didn't create it, now you're being creative. Carrying is not that. It's not creative. What is it? It's Kain Muksa D'Araisa. And therefore, the Gemara can say that at some level, Tiltul Lav Tzara Hotzai, right? That Tiltul and Hotzah are connected. And just like the Rambam claims that Mukta is part of that bigger picture of Mimsocha Vatzach Vadavar Davar, of creating a spirit of Shabbos, so Hotzah was God's way of indicating to you what Shabbos is about. Right? There's 38 malachos that tell you you can't violate Shabbos by being creative, and then there's one that tells you, and not only that, but we want you to have a shvisa nikeres. Right? Now the Rambam has an even more striking formulation of this. I hope I put this one. If I didn't, then I'll have to pull it up. Did I do it? No, I didn't. Okay. No, I didn't. Okay. The Rambam makes this even more clear. The Rambam, in explaining why it is that you don't, that the Isser of Hotzah does not apply on Yom Tov, right, as we saw that the Gemara says that there's no Iro of the Hotzah li Yom Tov.
This is a halafah.
What?
Halafah.
Did I put it on?
I have it on this one. I have an old version. That we
32? Right, so why is it Hotzah not Hashem Yom Tov? The Afal Bisha Kol Hotzah Imalacha Shesh Hotzah Dvar of Yom Tov. And even though, right, normally we would say it's definitely Asru because you could do it before Yom Tov. Lama Lo Asru, ha? Kidei La Harbos B'Simchas Yom Tov. To make it that you enjoy Yom Tov more, v'yolech v'yavi kol ma sheyirtza v'yashlam chafatzav. V'lo yiyeh kimo she'ad v'asuros, because we don't want you to be on Yom Tov like someone whose hands are tied. Aval shar malachos she'esh ha'asos v'yav Yom Tov, ho'ol v'yesh ban ezek en osan v'yom Tov. Right? Other malachos, which you could do every Yom Tov, we don't want you to do it on Yom Tov. But now, if we put this Rambam with the other Rambam, Right? He says, on Yom Tov, we don't want your hands to be tied, because we want you to have simcha. But wait a second, Chutzah is usur on Shabbos. And if Chutzah is that thing that would leave you locked in your house, right? And it's not usur on Yom Tov, because we don't want you to do that, then by implication, v'michlal lav atah shomein, then on Shabbos we want you to be kimoshe yadav asuros, right? We want your hands to be tied. We don't want you to do anything. Credit goes to Rosenzweig for this one. Kedarko v'kodesh, right? But if you put the Rambams together, right, the Rambam here, which claims that Chutzah is about, right, not asuring Chutzah and Yom Tov would make yourself Yadav Asuros, and telling you that on Shabbos it is Asur, which means your Yadav should be Asuros, combined with the Rambam's claim that Muktzah is on the same continuum as Chutzah, because we want you to have Shvisa Nikeres, what that tells you that Chutzah is Dafka would define Shabbos, in contrast to Yom Tov. Yom Tov is about enjoying yourself, and Shabbos is about resting. It's about having a Shvisa Hanikeres. Right? So one possibility, when you put these sources together, is to claim that Eruv Ve'otzah, that carrying, it may be a Malach HaGru, it's not creative. What it is the Daraisa equivalent of Muktza. It's that which ensures that you are actively resting and not just refraining from doing bad things, but you have a, right, a recognizable, unquestionable 24 hours in which you do nothing, right? Essentially, right? Hopefully you do something, you know, spiritual, but you don't do anything in the physical realm. Okay? So that's one possibility, is to say that that carrying is a melacha grua. What makes it asur is that it's the ke'en de'araisa of mukza. Now the other thing we could compare it to is tchumen. Right? Now what's tchumen? What's the asur of tchumen? Right? So what is the asur? What is the asur?
Leaving whatever makom.
Right, is leaving the place that you are in. Now, the Gemara in Irvin, Yud Zayin, that brings the source for carrying, right, Al Yotzi, it's actually unclear from it, right, Al Yotzi, right, Al Yotzi Ishmim Komo is talking about what, Isser? Tumen. The drasha that the Gemara uses on it to derive the Isser of Otzah is Al Yotzi, right, don't carry, right? So, just looking at the source that the Gemara has for carrying, right, it seems that it's integrally connected to Tumen, right? We in fact derive it from the same Pasuk. Right? The Pasuk says, Al Yotze Ish from Gomel, you shouldn't leave your place. And Chazal say, oh, that's the source for carrying, Al Yotze Ish from Gomel, you can't carry out of your place. So, simply from the source, a second possibility that would open itself is to say that the Isser of Chutzah is related to Tumen. Now, if we think about it, however, right, it's a little bit difficult, right? So let's talk about it outside, right? The Isser of Tchum, what is its goal? What does it do to you?
Confines you.
Confines you, right? You can't walk out of your place. The Isser of carrying, what does it do?
Make sure you rest.
Confines your property.
It confines your property, right? So, at some level, they're related. At some level, they are, right, not. Right? At some level, they're actually very different. Sort of. Right? Is that totally true? Well, let's think about it. Right? Within the Isser of Chutzah, what is included? Right? There's three things that are also within Chutzah. One is taking from Rabban Tiyachid. The other one is Yachid Rabban. The third is what?
Havara
in Rishus Harabim. There's four Amos within Rishus Harabim. Okay, so clearly, right? Rishus Yachid to Rishus Harabim, and Rishus Harabim to Rishus Yachid. If I say I can't carry between them, so that confines my property, doesn't confine me, right? That's clear. Now, Havara Dalat Amos Rishus Harabim, right? Why is that usher? Right, what did I do? Right, I understand I transferred within Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Harabim. Okay, at least I can say that. But in Rishus Harabim, what did I do? Right, why is it that Arba Amos is the magic space? Makom shel adam. Right, so the Baal Mor is a famous line. This is in source 25. Right, lefish arba amos shel adam bechol makom konas lo kirshuso damyan. Because four amos can be kone for you, right? If I throw something into your four amos, right, you can be kone through your quasi kinyan chaser, right? And therefore, it's like you're a shus, right?
Quasi-kinyan chatzer.
In kinyanim, yeah. If I throw it into your four amos, then it's kinyan chatzer, right? Yeah. So he says, ukshemoti chutzlehen bezorg maver kemoti mishuzayachad l'shus harabim dami. And therefore, if I throw outside of it, it's as if I took it from a shus hayachad to a shus harabim. Right? So, at first glance, that makes it sound like carrying arba amos is just the same thing, right? It's carrying from a shus hayachad to a shus harabim. But is that really true? No! Because think about it, if I'm carrying Dalet Amos, right, is this ever leaving my Rishus?
No.
No! What is it really confining?
You.
Me! Right? Because it's, right, if I'm carrying this Arba Amos and Rishus Harabim, right, it's not actually leaving Rishus Hayachid and Rishus Harabim, it's always within my Rishus Hayachid. In what sense is it like Rishus Hayachid and Rishus Harabim? It is coming with me as I... And I change where my rishus is.
Yeah.
Right? So, it could actually be, right, that...
So, the Dalet Amos, that only kicks in if you establish it before Shabbos.
No.
No, it's even on Shabbos?
No, if I walk out into... If I'm in Rishus HaRabim, right, and I pick up an apple on the floor, and I walk four Amos, I'm Chayav.
Yeah.
Right? So... So,
but that's not what I meant, though. I meant the other way around. To be mutzer betiltul in that dalet amos.
No.
That's also.
No, if you're outside and you pick something up, you could walk it a foot here, a foot there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. If I'm in Rishus HaRabim, if let's say I'm in Rishus HaRabim, right, and you know I realize that you know I'm sitting at a park bench in Rishus HaRabim, right, and you're sitting next to me, I can hand you a book.
Yeah.
Right. There happened to be a book there. What?
Keep your books off.
Yeah, right, exactly. You're going to pick it up, exactly. Okay, so on the one hand, right, it seems like we could have said that, yeah, at some level, based on the drasha, hotzah could be sort of like tchumen, right? Tchumen confines your person, and this confines your property. Though, as we noted, it's not totally true, right, because... while caring for Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim solely confines my property, right? Caring Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim is somewhere in between because the next Rishus is created by me, right? I'm allowed to walk into the next Rishus. I'm not allowed to walk with my property and create a new Rishus with it with me, so it's somewhere in between confining me and confining my property, right? So it could be, right, that hotza'a is related to tchumen, right? That just like there's a value on Shabbos of containing you, there's also a value of containing your property. Or it could be that, in fact, the point of ossering transfer of your property is to confine you, right? Because I'm allowed to move. It's just that I can't move with anything with me. I can't take anything with me. But if I want my stuff, I need to be contained, right? So at some level, it could be related to tchumen in that sense, especially Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim. Now, one could even go farther and say maybe at some level, maybe, right, Rishus Yachid to Rishus HaRabim is the biblical form of Mukta and carrying Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim is the biblical form of Tumen, if Tumen is Rabbanan, or the Malacha form of Tumen, right, and split the difference, but that's just speculation. To see Rishonim who actually took this position, and, right, if you look at source 28, for example, the Smak actually takes the Gemara the way I just said it, right, 28, the source, page 7. Shalom lahotim ishuz yachal ishuz harabim. Nachsev al yetsi ishmim komo. Uvechal ze tchumen. Valiv de Rabbi Kiva. This Gemara works according to Rabbi Kiva, who says that tchumen is de araisa, and they're actually the same iser. Now, Tosfos challenges this. No, Elam Shemotzav, Ali Rubin, Chumin, any other logs on? No, they're not related. Right? They are not related. Right? So Tosfos denies this, but the Smak does seem to take this position. Okay. So what we have here is two possibilities. One, to say that Hotzah is the Araisa equivalent of Muktzah, that the point of it is basically to bind you, is to make sure you have a Shisa Nikeres. The other one is to say that it's meant to constrain your person. Now, that could be because these things are creative, right? And this is what, you know, Rabbi Tirchiner mentioned from his daughter's Bat Mitzvah Drasha, right? That at some level it might even be creative to say that I, what's it called? That, you know, I've redefined something by its relationship to me. That's possible, but it's clearly not creative in the way the other malachos are. Now, if you look, for example, in source 31, the Gur Aryeh really does take this position. This is the Maharal. It says, right? The point of Hotzah is to make sure that you rest totally. Right? He's now combining a lot of the ideas we've seen because you don't have it on Yom Tov. And then he goes farther and he says, and that's the reason Vatana Hischel Lidvarov Mashe Iker Shvisa Shabbos Ainu Arbaitias L'Shabbos. Right now he takes this farther and he says, and you know what? We had said until now that Hotzah is the unique malacha, right? That everything else is about not being creative, and this is about resting. But the Gur Aryeh is trying to answer an interesting question, which is, why does Masechet Shabbos start with the malacha of Hotzah? So he suggests that it's not that Hotzah is the outlier. What is Hotzah? It's the key which defines everything else. Right? It's the fact that there can be a malacha which is not creative, whose goal is to ensure that you rest, tells you that the real reason that you're supposed to not create is because you're supposed to rest. Right? So it could be that Hotzah is not just adding a dimension to Shabbos, but it's in fact defining all the other malachos and telling them their goal, telling us their goal. And again, whether that is like Muktzah, that you're supposed to have a Shvisa Nikeres, or that it's like Tumen, that you're supposed to stay where you are, right? You're not supposed to try to go out into the world, you're supposed to turn inwards, right? And, you know, this might be more your speed, but the article I put at the end, right, tries to take this to the Machshavik level, right? That maybe Shabbos is about, you know, bringing in and not taking out. I don't know what any of this means, right? But maybe someone does. But at some level, it might really be true that Hotzah is meant to define it. It itself is a weak malacha, but in its weakness is its strength. And oh my God, I sound like a person's like, okay, fine. So let's chazer this and then mention a few nafkaminas, okay? So we noted that Hotzah is sui generis, both in terms of its structure, in terms of the source, in terms of its application to Yom Tov, to Yom Kippur, to even maybe Shabbos and Mara. So if it's in fact unique, in what sense unique, either because it's not creative or because it's defined by the law, like Tosfos or the Orsa Ruah, then we move to that and say, okay, well, if it's not creative, then what makes it a malacha? So either it is, one possibility is to say, like the Rajba and the Rambam, that it's the Araisa version of Mukta, and it's the Araisa thing which tells you you're supposed to have Shisa Nikar, supposed to rest on Shabbos. The other possibility is to say it's the equivalent, like the Smak says, basically more an Erevin, that it's the equivalent of Tchumen, that it's the Araisa Malacha that tells you you're supposed to confine yourself. Then we said maybe, in fact, within Hotzah itself, there's both elements. The Mirshus Yachad, Mirshus Harabim is some sort of mukta, right? You're supposed to contain your property. And Arba Amos Mirshus Harabim is that I'm not supposed to, you know, sort of reassert my makom. And for Amos, now I'm supposed to confine myself. So maybe it's actually playing in both themes. Then we moved on and we said, well, it could be that the Isra of Hotzah is adding a dimension to Shabbos and saying there's really two dimensions to Shabbos. Don't be creative and ensure that you rest. Or alternatively, as the Gur Aryeh suggests, maybe the existence of Hotzah sheds light on all the other malachas to tell you that no, that yes, most of the malachas are creative, but the goal of not being creative is so that you rest, right? Okay. So that is the basic overview of the Mesbeser of Hotzah. And the nature of Hotzah, of Hotzah's Malach HaGrua. What I want to do quickly in the last few minutes, and you can read these inside, they're very, very long, all of them, is, and you just look at my outline, it's probably helpful, just look at the front page, it's at number 6. Are there legal implications to this? Okay? So I'm going to mention very quickly 6. Okay? First one is Maisa Shabbos, an Amir Lenach. We know that there's an Isser Derabbanan on Shabbos, possibly Derabbanan. We paskin Derabbanan. There is a sheet in the Tanam that's Daraisa, that if a Malacha was done on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from it on Shabbos and possibly even after Shabbos. Does that apply to Hotzah? So the Rashba, quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, and this is found also in the Chayyadah, and the Mishnah Berurah actually rules this way, and the Ber Halacha says that there is no Maaseh Shabbos for Hotzah, or at least there's none by Shogeg, right? There are different formulations in Poskim, because... Right? What's the problem with Maisa Shabbos? Why is it that if a Malacha is done on Shabbos, I can't benefit from it? Because...
Mitzvah
Baver. I don't know if it's Mitzvah Baver, but meaning something has changed. Is there now I can't benefit from it? But as we said, Hotzah is unique because nothing changes. So the Rabbeinu Yonah claims, and the Chayyadim says the Allah, at least by Shogeg, that therefore there's no Isser, there's no Maisa Shabbos of Hotzah. Right? That if someone were to... carry. Right? On Shabbos, you could still benefit from it. Now, the Ramban points out that this, the Ramban argues against this in Erevin, and it seems to be against an explicit Gemara, which says that at least in the case of Tchumen, there is Maaseh Shabbos. Right? The Gemara explicitly says by Tchumen there is, so either one could distinguish between Tchumen and Hotzah, or right, one can take the mitigated position of Chayadam, which is that only by Shogeg. Right, it's mother. By Mazid, there's some other thing at play, like some sort of kenas. Right, by Shogeg, we just don't want you to benefit from Malach Shabbos. And since there's no benefit, because nothing changed, so then if it's Shogeg and it's Hotzah, then it would be mother.
So where does Nachri fit in with Tchumen?
What? So then the second question, which is related, is whether there's a problem with Miral Nachri. And this also appears that there may be special kulas of a Miral Nachri by Hotzah. Right, that while normally a Mila Nachri is Aser, it may be that there are kulas, I won't get into exact details, of Hotzah, because again, a Mila Nachri is related to this question, right, of not just not doing a Malacha, but not having a Malacha done, or not benefiting from a Malacha. And it could be that Hotzah, where the Malacha is itself unique, right, and nothing changes, that might be mitigated on Shabbos. Okay, the exact parameters of it, we don't really have time, but you can look at it inside. I'll say that's not as interesting. I'm not going to do all of them. I'll do an interesting one. E, right? The Avni Nezer. One of the conditions for Malacha on Shabbos is Miskayem, right? That a Malacha has to last, right? If I write in temporary ink, then it's only Nezer Darabanan, right? And anyone who knows Machon Somat, right? The pens that they make with disappearing ink, right? For doctors, plays in this principle. The Daraisa, something's only Aser if it lasts. Darabanan, it's Aser even if it doesn't last. But in a hospital where we wave Darabanans, so you write in disappearing ink. So what about Hotzah? Does Hotzah need to be Miskayim? The Avni Nezer says, no. How do I know? Because it's never Miskayim, because nothing happened. Right? Mali hotzi mir shezayach l'shezarabim. Mali hotzi mir shezarabim l'shezayachet. Right? Definitionally, it's not Miskayim. What are you talking about? Right? I don't have to leave this there forever. No one ever said that Hotzah is only Aser, and I'm going to leave it there forever. Haraya, that one of these key things, right, this notion of Miskayim, doesn't exist by Hotzah, but it makes a lot of sense. Because if Hotzah is unique, it's a Malacha Grua, because nothing changes, then you can't tell me it's not a Malacha, unless it's permanent. What do you mean? The whole point is nothing happened. Right? So that's another Nachmina. These are such nice Nachminas. I will point out parenthetically that the Avni Nezer himself actually doesn't think that Hotzah is a Malacha Grua. He thinks Tzad is, that hunting is and carrying is not. This is beyond me already. But this is how he rules. Let's see. Let's take another one here.
How's Makalka play into a song?
Okay, you want to do the Makalka one? Sure, we'll do the Makalka one. Okay, sure. That was Nafkamina. What number would I write that as?
D.
D. Okay, that was in the Shut Beis Yitzchak. Okay, so if you look at Tzoros... Beis Yitzchak, I said, yeah?
Beis
Yitzchak. Quoted, that what I say, quoted in the... In the Heart's Fee. Which one did I say that was in? Unless I can find which one it was. Beis Yitzchak, that's one. Where is it? Here. Yatalachkor in Melechet Tzah Patur Kishu Mekalko, Kamo Shar Melachot, or Shayim Melachot Tzah. The Kavan Shi Lo Beguf Achevet, Ein Nafkamina in Niskalko Achevet, Shari Ikara Shamalacha Eina Ele Bishinu Hamako Mershus Lershus. Right, the Beis Yitzchak, right? Yitzchak Shmelka is asked. Another thing that's true on Shabbos is that a malacha is only utter if it's creative and not if it's destructive. But he says, well, maybe that's not true of Hotzah, because it's not about creating. If it's not about creating, then you can't solve the problem by destroying. The malacha to begin with wasn't about creativity, and it's not about creativity, then being destructive won't change its nature. Right, so those are some nafkaminas. There are a bunch of other nafkaminas here. The possibility that even if you violate the malacha, right, the Or Rishonim said that every time you violate malacha, you also violate the aseh of Shabbaton, the active chiyuv to rest. Some achronim say, but you don't when you violate hotzah, you don't violate Shabbaton. Right? You only violate a malacha, but not Shabbaton. I don't understand that, because if anything, right, as we've seen, it should be the other way around. But not all nafkaminas can work in your favor. The Pnei Yeshua has a fascinating possibility that Shvisis Behemto, right, the Chiyuv, to ensure that your animal doesn't do malacha, doesn't apply to Hotza, right?
Right, what about Shvisis Kalim, too?
Which we don't posket, right? Right, there's no Shvisis Kalim, right? It's similar to that. Again, right, the same idea that I'm not allowed to have a malacha done, but Hotza isn't about creating something, it's about me resting, but maybe having my animal rest is an usur. Right, because, right, no, having my animal not carry is not usur, because I'm resting and nothing is getting done. Right, if you think that it's the unique malacha, right, the reason I can't have my animal do malacha is because I can't have something created. And hotzah is different because I'm supposed to rest. So if my animal is carrying, then I'm resting and nothing is being created. Right, so Pnei Yeshua suggests that Shvis Behemta, while it applies in general, does not apply to animals. Right? There are other nafkamina in terms of chatzi shir. Maybe chatzi shir will be totally mutter. Right? Normally, a partial malacha is at least aser derabanan, maybe even deraisa. Machlokes, maybe in the case of carrying, it won't even be aser there. That's a dion in the achronim. Again, all these nafkaminas point to this fact that hotza'a may be a unique malacha, and therefore, perhaps, right, there's no problem with Mir Lenachri, or lesser problem with Mir Lenachri, lesser problem with Maaseh Shabbos, there's no problem with Chatzi Shir, there's no problem with it's destructive, right, because in the end of the day, if it's unique, then the categories that define it are also going to be unique. One last point, we started 2 minutes late, so I get 2 extra minutes, how is this going to play into our discussion of Eruvin, right, besides for the obvious conceptual issue? Which is, right, Erevin is about solving the problem of Hotzah. So here I should just point out, this appears already in the Chuvos of the Rivash, in North Africa, and later is taken to an extreme by Rav Kasher. Don't try looking at it inside, I don't even think I put it, or maybe I did at the end. Is one of the things we're going to see in Erevin is that Rishuyos of Shabbos, we're obsessive about comparing it to the Mishkan. Right? Tezayin Ama, because in the Mishkan, when you're traveling through Diglei Midbar, you were traveling on a road of 16 Amos. If you think you need 600,000 people, it's because there were 600,000 people in the Midbar. Right? There were 600,000 people in the camp. And Tosfos, as we'll see, says, well, really there weren't 600,000 people. There were several million, because there were women and children. There's just 600,000 that are numbered. But for some reason, by Hotzah, we define the Malacha based on what's explicit in the Pasuk, and that's this magic number 600,000. And so Rav Kasher asks the obvious question is, why suddenly by Hotzah do we, every prat, every detail, Right? It's only Usser. It's exactly like it was in the Mishkan. Everything else, like, okay, they planted in the Mishkan, so planting is Usser. But we don't say, for the Mishkan, they planted these plants. But they didn't plant apples. Right? And yet, by Hafsa, we do. So Rav Kasher says, it's because of this, because it's Malacha Grua. Because all the other Malachos are objectively creative acts. Hotza is unique to Shabbos. The Torah defines it into existence. It shouldn't have been Usser. It's not creative. It's Usser because the Torah said so. But once that's the case, it can only be Usser if the Torah says so. Right? And therefore, as we'll see, right, many of the things in Erevin are a little bit strange, and Rosh Hashanah are strange, right? Because we find all these Deir Zakasavs and it doesn't always make sense. Right? It isn't like Zoraya where I can just say, okay, what does it mean to plant? And I can just look outside, how do I plant something, and I can figure out what the law is. I can't do that by outside. I have to look at the Mishkan and say exactly how do I copy from it. Conceptually, why is it we're looking for this? Why are we obsessed with this? Or Kasher says it's because of everything that we've said, that because of this weaker nature of Otsah, its sui generis nature, right? It is defined into existence by Shabbos and by Hilchos Shabbos, and without the halacha, it won't exist. Okay, so again, so Otsah, right? Unique malacha could be that it's meant to confine us to our space. It could be that it's meant to make us rest. May have legal nafkaminas, Maisa Shabbos, Asay Shvis, Behemdo, Makal, Kamskan, Chazashir. And the last thing is that this may be why we're so obsessed with Gzeres HaKasav by the Rishuyos of Shabbos, because the Malacha itself was defined into existence by the existence of the category of Shabbos. It's not something we borrow from the real world, and therefore it could be that it's constructed by a series of Gzeres HaKasavs, and therefore things that we see in Erevin may be a little bit surprising, but that could make sense because Hotza is itself a surprising